of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Welcome to the Prime Evening News for today. I'm your presenter, Richie Farrell. Here are the headlines. Opposition leader Lennox Linton is wary of the transparency of MMCE government partnerships in Dominica's housing and CBI programs and calls it a strategy to cannibalize Dominica's CBI program revenues. Antiguans waited with bated breath, but Prime Minister Dr. Timothy Harris announced no lockdown, but more restrictions from Saturday following the COVID-19 diagnosis of a hotel worker on Wednesday. And U.S. President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin to hold a long-anticipated summit in Geneva, Switzerland on June 16th, marking the two leaders' first meeting since Biden became president in January. These are our headlines. The news brought to you compliments. West Indies Communications Enterprise Limited, first stop in the news. Leader of the Parliamentary Opposition, Lennox Linton, is wary about the transparency of the MMCE government partnerships, Dominica's housing program, and the CBI program, which is the Skerrit administration's legacy. In a statement sent to Q95 News on May 25, 2021, Linton revealed that the deal between MMCE Limited and the government of Dominica is a sweetheart deal which allows the construction firm to use the CBI money to build houses and then make a development profit on the difference between the cost of houses built and the amount of passport money collected for housing.
Skerrit decided that instead of putting the people's money into the people's treasury, the people's consolidated fund, he would put the money into a special account.
It is treated somewhat like the fund option. So the fees applicable to the housing are the fees applicable if you're to invest in the government direct monetary option.
All the monies from the EDF, the direct cash option, go into the state treasury. The fees for the housing program are the same as the EDF option, but Skerrit's sweetheart deal allows MMCE to use the CBI housing money to build houses and to make a development profit on the difference between the cost of the houses built and the amount of passport money collected for the housing.
In recent years, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit may have laid bare possible violations in his attempts to explain his administration's management of CBI revenues and the projects for which they are used.
The housing program now is the premier program, because now the housing program is doing better than the fund option.
Mr. Speaker, in fiscal year 2007-2018, citizenships were approved as follows. 1,073 under the government cash option, 285 under the MMC housing cash option. For fiscal year 2018-2019, there were 579 under the government cash option, 802 under the MMC housing cash option. For fiscal year 2019-2020, there were 396 under government cash option, 1,057 under the MMC housing cash option.
This housing program is illegally diverting CBI revenues generated through the EDF option from the Treasury into a special account.
This is the strategy of the Skerrit administration's housing revolution in Dominica, which cannibalizes the country's CBI program, says Linton.
The program is exclusive to Montreal Management Company, which Skerrit has facilitated to cannibalize Dominica's flagship direct cash contribution program.
If we did not have this project and we had this agent selling for Dominica, all of his money would have been part of revenue in the consolidated fund.
As it relates to funding of these projects, MMCE is utilizing financing secured from its own sources and efforts to construct and complete the Marigot Hospital and the health centers. Government has agreed to recompense MMCE for its construction of the said facilities by providing to MMC allocations under the Citizenship by Investment Program, from which the company will be permitted to recoup and raise the financing required to construct these facilities.
Dominica's parliamentary opposition leader, Lennox Linton. Speaking at the UNDP's virtual conference on the future of tourism, Regional Dialogue Part 2, the new profiles of visitors earlier today, Peter Thompson, the CEO of Remote Work Inc., encourages governments and people of other Eastern Caribbean countries to embrace the idea of attracting long-term tourists through a remote work initiative currently being implemented by Barbados and Montserrat. Thompson says he was stunned that the Barbadian government implemented this now global initiative in a matter of months.
Someone influential saw it and asked me to write a memo outlining my ideas to the government. And really, they stunned me when they implemented the ideas within 8 weeks, which is blindingly fast for a government. And so I have to give full kudos to the Barbados government for leading the world in this respect. Now, of course, it was COVID which led me to the idea. I was, you know, on FaceTime with all my colleagues in North America, and they were cooped up at home. And I offhandedly said, well, you should come to Barbados and be cooped up here. It's more fun. So that led to my working out the economics of this idea, and they are astounding.
Peter Thompson told the media and the panel that the COVID-19 pandemic permanently altered the way business and tourism operates. He explicates to tourism stakeholders to adjust to the new norm and properly create the viability for their products in the new marketplace.
You have to understand that the world of work has been changed utterly by the COVID pandemic. It is a permanent change. We are not going back ever to 2019. Tourism has always depended on the employment patterns of the visitors. That is what, when tourism was Lord and Lady this taking the tour of Europe, their employment patterns allowed them to spend a year going from museum to museum. In our era, when tourism is mass travel on jet aircraft that zip you across the globe in next to no time, the primary constraint on tourism has been the vacation time available to the visitors. That is why everything was packaged. That has changed.
He warns Caribbean governments, there is no need to dominate. Open quote, we simply need to attract the fraction of that marketplace that we wish to serve. End of quote.
Basically, in the developed economies, there are now a huge percentage of the workforce that will, from now on, be working outside of an office. In the US at the moment, their workforce is about 160 million, and upwards of 50 million American people, workers, are in this position. That pattern is repeated in Canada, it's repeated in the UK, and it's repeated in Europe. This is a marketplace of hundreds of millions of people. We do not need to dominate this marketplace. We simply need to attract the fraction of that marketplace that we wish to serve.
CEO of Remote Work Inc., Peter Thompson. This is Q95 News. The Dominica Reparations Committee and the House of Niabingi joined the rest of the world in celebrating Africa Day. First, it was Africa Freedom Day, 15th April, declared at the First Congress of Independent African States held in Accra, Ghana in 1958. Then it became African Liberation Day on May 25, 1963, when 30 African nations met in Addis Ababa for the founding of the Organization of African Unity. The OAU was founded primarily with the aim of encouraging decolonization of the Portuguese-held territories of Southern Africa, as well as Southern Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, and Northern Rhodesia in Zambia. The Western Sahara region was still under colonialism, and the founding of the OAU was to support the fight of decolonization or liberation of the region, as well as the fight against apartheid in South Africa and Rhodesia. In 1972, a number of left-wing political activists, mainly stationed in North America, met to discuss the staging of the first annual African Liberation Day marches to be held. But that time, there was an intense armed struggle being waged for independence in Mozambique, Angola, Guinea-Bissau, South Africa, and Namibia. On March 25, 1972, African Liberation Day marches were held in some North American cities. There was one in Antigua and in one or two other Caribbean islands. In Antigua, there was a march from 1972 until 1977, organized by the Antigua Caribbean Liberation Movement. The day is now referred to as Africa Day. Now that independence is won, the focus is on economic imperatives of African countries struggling to overcome the adverse effects of plunder, genocide, colonization, and continuing economic exploitation by European and other countries. Chairman of the Dominica Reparations Committee, Dr. Damian Doblin, shared some information on what transpired during the course of today, as well as some of the activities planned for the evening.
There'll be a panel discussion on radio at 11 a.m. Also, during the day, there'll be other activities which we want to highlight, that is collaboration with other National Reparations Committee. So we'll have seminars, webinars, all this will be available on the various Facebook pages. From 10 a.m., the Africa Unity, the United States of Africa, will be organizing a webinar on the theme Africa Must Unite for Africa by Africans. This will go on from 10 to maybe about 5. And from 7:30 to 9:30, the Antigua and Barbuda Reparation Support Commission will be organizing a seminar on the topic Reinvestment in Africa Caribbean Relations. So the focus this year will be more on re-education. We bring information to the people and then they can follow and learn more about Africa, focus on the development and achievement that has been done over the years, and celebrate our culture and heritage.
Dominica Reparations Committee Chairman, Dr. Damian Doblin. Two matches were played Friday, May 21st, 2021 in the Sports Division, organized secondary schools football competition. In the under-17 match played at Benjamin's Park, the Portsmouth Secondary School edged out Cassibrew Secondary by 4-3. Goal scorers for PSS were Davon George with 1, Julie Henry with 3. Roosevelt Coppell and Adriel Lawrence scoring 1 each for CBSS, who also benefited from an own goal. In the under-20 game at Stock Farm, the Goodwill Secondary School defeated the Pierre Charles Secondary by 2-0. Ronnie Peter and Dante Warrington scored for GSS. You're tuned in with Q95 News. President of the Alternative People's Party, APP, and former manager of the National Bank of Dominica Limited, Julius Corbett, asks Dominicans, open quote, "Are you better off than you were 5, 10, 15, or 20 years ago?" End of quote. Corbett revealed that for many Dominicans, the answer to this serious question is no. He added that on this premise alone, it is enough reason to vote out the Roosevelt-Skerrit administration and vote in the APP, who will be revealing their candidates closer to the election year.
So APP is coming for brand new set of ideas, new vision, new energy, bread and butter issues. We are not in this mepui and this gossip nonsense that's taking place in Dominica, this malparler, mauvais line, all these things. Yeah, these things are good for humor. So I want Dominicans to ask themselves the question today. Are you better off now than you were 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago? And a few will say yes, but the majority will say no. They will say no.
Corbett referenced a statement from one of the top members of the aid bank when he resigned to the effect that, open quote, he will never work in the bank for Skerrit again, end of quote. The APP president describes this type of thinking as destructive for Dominica's society.
I lived in Dominica. I returned to Dominica on two occasions, one to manage National Bank, the other one to manage an aid bank. And when I went back to aid bank, you know what he said? You'll never work for Skerrit again because Skerrit did you a favor. You are bringing a countryman back to Dominica to work for the benefit of the country, not for an individual. And until this happens, until we start to think of Dominica in terms of Dominica per se and not in terms of party, so we bring in new ideas. New vision, new thinking, integrity in government, law and order. Right now we have a situation where we are fighting very hard not to provide, identity to vote. We're trying to prevent people from voting, suppressing voting as opposed to having people vote. What is all this all about?
President of the Alternative People's Party and former manager of NBD, Julius Corbett. DPSU General Secretary Thomas Slater urges Dominicans and the Dominica State College staff who are holding industrial actions against the management of the college to monitor the developing negotiations between the DPSU, the president of the DSC, Dr. Donald Peters, and the Ministry of Education.
The sore point now is the Dominica State College. And while I believe that we have experience a good level of success down there, but we have to monitor the situation.
Later went on to provide an update on the ongoing negotiations, which reveals that the problems being faced by the DSC staff are many, but it is recognized that because of the unity of the staff in carrying out this industrial action, some of these problems, which were left unresolved for some 7 years, were resolved in a matter of days.
We recognize that everything cannot be done in one shot. But as I said, the problems are many. We have people who are not appointed. Even in the collective agreement, it states that people will be appointed after 6 months. And if management feels that the probationary period will be for 6 months. However, if management feels that they don't want to go through that probation period, then that can be done. But we have people down there who have been working for maybe 9, 8 years. And they are not appointed.
DPSU General Secretary Thomas Slater. The entire nation waited with bated breaths when Prime Minister Dr. Timothy Harris addressed the nation Friday night regarding the COVID-19 diagnosis of a hotel worker on Wednesday. Dr. Harris, although not announcing a lockdown, announced some added restrictions which will take place at 6 a.m. Saturday. The Prime Minister said no mass events will be allowed for the next fortnight, and over that same period, sporting events will only be allowed with permission from the Commissioner of Police. He also indicated that bars will be opened until midnight for the next 2 weeks, but no bans will be allowed. Dr. Harris also announced 3 positive cases had resulted from 229 contact tracing of case 46. This is Q95 News. U.S. President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin will hold a long-anticipated summit in Geneva, Switzerland on 16th June 2021. The White House and the Kremlin announced this on Tuesday, marking the first meeting between the two leaders since Biden became president in January. Open quote, the leaders will discuss the full range of pressing issues as we seek to restore predictability and stability to the U.S.-Russia relationship, end of quote, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said in a statement.
Have relations between Russia and the United States reached real rock bottom? Can they improve? Or will things get even worse? Let's get to the bottom line. U.S. President Joe Biden openly says he believes his Russian counterpart, President Vladimir Putin, is a soulless killer. The Biden-Putin relationship is less of a love fest compared to what Donald Trump and Putin had, but that doesn't mean Biden and Putin won't be working together. Both sides are now testing each other's red lines. Ukraine is one of those contests, but so too is cyberspace. After Washington determined that the Russian government was behind a huge hacking of its agencies that started in 2019, known as the SolarWinds hack, the Biden administration sanctioned dozens of organizations and individuals in Russia and kicked out 10 Russian diplomats. Russia responded by telling the U.S. ambassador in Moscow that it's probably a good idea for him to take a vacation in America for a while. Tit for tat knuckle wrapping aside, Biden has invited Putin to a face-to-face personal summit meeting in a third country sometime this summer to reset relations. But in the era of Biden and the ongoing story of Vladimir Putin, what kind of cooperation or competition is normal for these two countries?
That's the Prime Evening News. Here's a recap of our headlines. Opposition leader Lennox Linton is wary of the transparency of MMCE government partnerships in Dominica's housing and CBI programs and calls it a strategy to cannibalize Dominica's CBI revenues. Antiguans waited with bated breath, but Prime Minister Dr. Timothy Harris announced no lockdown. He did, however, announce more restrictions from Saturday following the COVID-19 diagnosis of a hotel worker on Wednesday. And U.S. President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin to hold a long-anticipated summit in Geneva, Switzerland on June 16, 2021, marking the two leaders' first meeting since Biden became president in January. These are our headlines. The news brought to you compliments Wise Limited. The notice board is up next.
Top of the hour news, as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on, Q.